Let's do it. Everybody. I don't know.
I feel like there were like four songs you tried to put into that, and that's a feat. So I want to congratulate you on that.
That was a medley. That was very much of a medley. I couldn't tell you what songs they were, but it was a medley. And they exist.
I know Shots at the end of it. That's all I got there.
That's true. Everybody was definitely from Shots. And then the other song, I can't remember, whatever. Anyway, hi guys. Welcome back to Simply Amazing, the best number one Nightcrawler podcast that now has cute shirts based on the stuff we say.
Yes. And I just want to say, Lisa, thank you for doing that, because y'all listen to this. Listen, she is so talented and she thinks of these things and doesn't even tell me. And then she just makes these great things and is like, here, everyone. So I find out about these things just when you guys do. And it's amazing. Like, I am not being sarcastic. I completely mean that. It is. She hits it every time. Like, Lisa, you are the queen of merch.
Oh, thank you so much. I have fun doing it. Typically, I'm just like, not sleeping. So I just make something. That's typically what I do. So that's when inspiration hits. We are going to be talking today about Exiles issues 7 and 8, because why not? I love Exiles, and I'm forcing Lauren to.
You know, it's not much of a force. Like, I'm not being held at gunpoint. It's more just like, you've got your homework, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, great, get in here. And then you just lock me in a room with Exiles.
Yeah, that sounds like a fantasy. And we should probably talk about that off air. But
what is happening? I don't do them.
Speaking of this issue. And sexiness. There is some sexiness. There's some naughtiness in this issue.
There's quite a bit, actually. Both the issues. And yes. I have limited thoughts about it, but I do have thoughts about it in terms of, I was reading this, and then like some of those moments come up that we'll talk about, and I was like, oh, we're getting like sexy. Like, issue 7, they said, is the sexy issue. You know what? That's a win, because 7's my favorite number. So,
mine too.
Oh my God, we're twinsies.
We are twinsies. We are twinsies always. So, before we get into the issue, issue 7 of Exiles, Neff Said, is actually part of a larger event that happened in 2002, like late 2001, early 2002, where a bunch of writers and artists challenged themselves to write a fully developed comic book story without any words at all. Mm-hmm. And it was, I looked it up because there was something like, I mean, 24 comic books came out in this whole little Nuff Said thing that had no words, which I think is pretty cool that they did something like that. Cause it's like an event, but it's not an event. It's not like a, you must collect everything event. It's more of a meta thing. So
yeah, it's like, try something different, you know, still do what you want to do, except there's this catch. It's like a writing art, you know, it's a creator challenge.
Yeah, exactly. So this issue starts with, first of all, the cover is adorable. It's Morph all asleep, and he's dreaming of the other Exiles, but they're all like little sheep. And little Magnus is in the background. He did. But so this issue starts with a sexy redhead flirting with the front desk guy at a hotel. And then it turns out the sexy redhead is Morph.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but who better to like know exactly what to make a guy perverted over? Because Morph is like so perverted. So he would know.
I do appreciate that. Like, that's a fun little take on it, is like, that's the thing about Morph. Like, he can be really annoying. And I think I've said, you know, kind of a little bit of that with the first issues when we read him. But it is nice that he knows who he is. He's very self-aware, at least. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that.
Totally agree. And even though, like, the others get annoyed by him, he's still part of the family. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, he's the cousin that every time he comes over, you groan. But if anybody said anything about them, it'd be like, shut the hell up. That's my cousin. So right. I have a feeling I'm that cousin in most in my family, but whatever. So Morph, the other exiles just teleport in with Blink, and Morph gives them all little key cards to their rooms at the Marvel Inn, which was cute.
Of course.
And they're like going to relax. They're going to sleep. They're going to have vacation. All they ever wanted, vacation, had to get away. So we get our first little bit of sexiness here because we've got Blink's getting ready for bed. Morph's watching TV. Nocturne's in the shower.
Listen, Nocturne is really sexy. And if you don't think so, this issue will change your mind, or at bare minimum, even if she's not attractive to you specifically, you will at least understand how she's attractive to others. Like, it's just, it is so in your face, which I think, I don't know if that was on purpose. That's a thing. Like, I actually wanted to ask you about that, Lisa, like with her portrayal of, you know, this kind of the sensuality and sexiness right off the bat here. Do you think that has any relation to, you know, the fact that Kurt's her dad and the fact that, you know, there's so much sensuality and stuff built into his character, and that even though she's her own character, you know, it can be familiar, that sensuality and that charm. It's like, I don't know, like, where, and if not, where did that come from? Where do you think they were like, this is essential to our character, throw it in there?
Okay, so it's really interesting that you bring this up, because I had thoughts as well that I was going to talk about that are in the similar vein. And I think it's a combination of a couple things that you're talking about, but also several other things. So first of all, here's the thing. Nightcrawler is like the X-Man with the most shower scenes. So of course his daughter is taking the mantle. I mean, there you go, right? and also, like, I look at Nocturne as like, she's Kurt, but without the Catholic guilt.
Yes.
Because,
you just made a pretty image in my head of Kurt.
but you know, like, what I mean by that is, like, she was definitely raised in a much more like sexually open kind of environment. But the other side of it is the Miley Cyrus syndrome of it, which is like, this actually comes up later when this comes up a little bit later. And it's like that idea of rebellion, where it's like you're seen as a child for a certain amount of time, and then you just go super hard in the other direction to be like, clear to the people around you that I am an adult and I should be treated as an adult. And she's in a very unique situation in her home world where, you know, she grew up amongst the X-Men, and then she becomes an X-Man. And it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of like coming to work at daddy's company for the first day, and everybody's like, okay, well, there's the boss's daughter, you know? Like, so I could see that being part of it, like a little bit of a rebellion. But also, like, I just think she was like raised very differently than Kurt was, obviously. She was also raised, like, there was never like a question of, who do I fit in with? Where do I come from? There was then none of that stuff. Like, because Kurt had a lot of that a lot of that baggage, because it's not just that he was adopted, because that's not, it's not an adoption thing so much as he was so different from everyone around him. And he didn't know why his parents didn't want him. He didn't have any of that. So that was all baggage that he had to deal with. But Nocturne has none of that, because, you know, she was raised by the parents who made her, and, you know, one of them looked just like her. So there was none of that craziness. So I think it allowed her to be much more open.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It seems such a very on the nose choice. I also wonder if it has anything to do with, like, because so she is very, you know, kind of centralized, sexualized, and so is Blink at multiple points. And I wonder if that's because, you know, I'm trying to find the right way to, you know, ask this or state it without sounding judgmental or weird, because that's not my goal here. But, like, because, you know, they look alien, even though they're mutants, which are technically forms of humans. You know, they have different colored skin than average humans do, right? You got the blue and the pink and, you know, the tail. I don't know, like that. I'm just kind of like, it seemed very specific, not only Nocturne, which makes a lot of sense to what you're saying, and makes sense to me, but, you know, Blink as well. Like what makes Blink also another choice for her individually?
So I think that there's something to be said about like the ease of like over-sexualization of characters that don't look human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's one thing when it's like a character that is clearly a human person and, you know, you're sexualizing them. It's like, it's another thing when it's like, well, it's like a freaking alien person. Who cares? You know, I don't know if that's part of it, but it's kind of silly. Yeah. But the other thing is that, so I was thinking of the dynamic of this team and very, very much the characters fall into their tropes.
Uh-huh.
Like if you look at the original X-Men, right? Like the 05 or whatever, right? Uh-huh. 06. Was it 05, 06? Why am I being stupid right now?
I think 5, but then I have to remember to count Beast. So I don't know.
I know. I mean, ew. So you've got the good girl, and the guy who are kind of the leaders who are a couple, right? Then you have kind of the silly, funny guy. Then you have the big, powerful guy. Mm-hmm. Warren kind of fits in with, like, Cal and Warren kind of fit in together. But it's just, it's very much following kind of that trend. And then when you bring in the next generation of X-Men, like, Storm was kind of like more sexual than Jean Grey was. So she fit that role, and that's what Nocturne kind of is. So maybe I'm like reaching for things, but I do feel like they really fit a very clear trope in the characters they've chosen. And like every single character they, with the exception of Blink, every character they chose was a complete blank slate that they could do anything with because they had no history whatsoever. But we've spent a lot of time talking about this one image of Nocturne showering.
Because it's that good. Girl, are you kidding me? I don't care what your sexuality is. That's a great image.
I'm saying. Wagner Maximoff jeans, girl.
Bro, it's like, what's that? There's a sound, a fucking sound on TikTok that's going viral now where, like, it's some sound and then it goes, switching teams! And people are using it to be like, you see this image or you see this person or character and you're like, I'm switching. I mean, man. If you think you're one way or the other that's not towards woman Nocturne, you're wrong by the time you look at that image. You're wrong
absolutely
every time you look at it. Anytime after, whatever, but, like, that image wins.
No, it's... If you are a gay man, it will turn you straight. If you are a straight woman, it will turn you gay. And if you have a uterus, it will impregnate you randomly.
That's facts. That's
right?
Tea.
I mean, so anyway, so careful about that. So then of course Mimic's getting into bed. So, and Thunderbird is in bed and like, I love the way he's drawn in his bed because he's very much drawn as like, an action figure or like a depowered machine. There's like, it's very, very non-human. But he does sleep. And when he sleeps, he dreams. And it's kind of heartbreaking what he dreams about because he dreams about having been an actual living like human who could do human things, simple human things like taste food. And like his whole dream is basically him like running around and then eating a lot of stuff. And watching children play. And it's just like, oh my God. I feel so bad for him. I love him so much.
He knows what's important in life.
He does. And it's ice cream and a big ass baguette. I mean, he's got the biggest baguette I've ever seen coming out of that bag. I mean, so that's him. Then we go on to Mariko. And Mariko has a very traumatic dream about her parents who were clearly very strict on her ever since she was very young and expecting her to fit in a mold that she couldn't fit into, a very, you know, I think a common theme a lot of young queer people have, which I mean, spoiler alert, we don't know yet, but she's a lesbian. And, you know, we just see like her finally coming into her own, getting her powers and like you know, flying free and everybody loves her the way she is, but the only people who don't approve and love her are her parents. And of course, that's the most important thing, right? That her parents approve of her. And so she's having that kind of nightmare, which, sorry, Mariko, that's very sad.
That is very sad. RIP in the chat, for real. I said F. For real. Does that make it a little more serious, I hope?
It does. Okay. It does. So then we move on to Cal's dream. Cal's dream, I love. It's very Donna Reed slash it's like somewhere that's green from Little Shop of Horrors.
Such a like, you know, yeah, like you were talking about the stereotypes and tropes earlier. Oh my gosh, such a tropey dream. And I was like, boy, you a sap.
He is, but I love
you it. A traditional sap. Traditional.
I love that about him, though. He is so freaking adorable. And he's with his little pink babies that he had with Clarice. And she's there and she's all dressed like Donna Reed. And it's like a matchbox of a own. There is like...
Why she gotta be dressed like that, though? Like, goddamn, you can't ever see, like, men having, like, these, like, really, you know, sappy picture-perfect fantasies with kids and stuff. And then the woman just, like... just in like regular clothes or something. Like it's gotta be this really, you know, femme look specific, which is chill, like whatever. But like, Blink, don't dress like that, boy. Do you know her? Do you?
I mean, but it is very cute though. I love the little, like their kids in the background and like the son. I'm assuming it's a son. I don't know, but he's like doing the little Wolverine claws because they're like they've got Mimic powers and they've got Blink powers. I mean, it's just very cute. It is. I mean, adorbs.
Maybe that kid knew Laura from another timeline or verse or something. You just don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's adorbs. But yeah, then he actually wakes up. He's the first one to have waken up so far. So everyone else is still sleeping through their nightmares or dreams for some reason. Like, you know, Thunderbird's having a good dream. He can stay in it. But, like, Mariko's not having a great dream. She didn't wake up. So why is he waking up in horror at his dream of somewhere that's green? I don't understand.
I don't know. I think, well, because, I mean, before this, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall any huge, like, by the way, him and Blink are, like, really, really, like, they are, like, gonna be a huge thing yet. Like, I think there might have been a couple little hints, but I don't know. That's what I read it as, is him being like, oh shit, I like her that much. What the fuck? Why is my brain doing this to me?
Okay, I actually really like that read, and I think you're probably right that he was just like hit with that realization, especially because of what comes later on in the issue. So then moving on to Morph. Morph is having a dream that he's like the star of his own show and everybody loves him. And then he's on, it looks like David Letterman. Then he's getting an Oscar. And then, ew, he gets naked and starts melting into a puddle of goo, which is what we know is what happens in his home world if they don't, the exiles don't, you know, if they fuck it up.
Yeah. You know, all the exiles need hugs. That's why I got the most from this issue. Thank you.
That's true. Well, the next one's going to get hugs. So we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, so he's the puddle of goo that unfortunately has to live on Henry McCoy's desk. I mean, could you at least put him on a better desk?
I mean, like it's already a terrible enough life. And then that on top of it, what the world?
I know. It's just. Now, speaking of hugs, we go to Nocturne, who is sleeping very scantily clad.
I mean, what the hell? Like, talk about fantasies. Like, what am I supposed to do? Anyways.
I mean, like, she's literally wearing so little clothing, it doesn't matter. She could just be naked, but I think she's wearing just enough clothing to have something to take off.
Yeah, like, it's there, but, like...
Yeah,
and,
no,
it but... It won't even take, like, 2 seconds, you know what I mean?
No.
Like,
well, it doesn't take 2 seconds, because guess who shows up? Oh, my God. It's James. James shows up. And they start to fucking immediately, but it's weird because she's dreaming of James, but also Thunderbird is there. And so here's the thing that I think is actually happening here, because this is what I get confused with, is I think we're seeing two different things. I think that she's dreaming about fucking James, but then she goes and fucks Thunderbird.
See, yeah, that's what I read as. I was actually going to ask you because I didn't know if you like knew the correct interpretation or whatever. But that's why, or I read it as like maybe she was dreaming about James, right? And she wakes up and then she ends up sleeping with Thunderbird, which is kind of fucked up. And listen, it's fucked up. And I still kind of appreciate that because here's the thing. The whole point of the Exile story here and everything is that everything's fucked up. It's realistic. It's painful. It's messy. And that's exactly what that is there. Like it's, you know, and I think that's also, it's natural for grief too. And it doesn't completely make sense, but that's grief for you. It doesn't make sense. It's a weird way of grieving for her and also moving on at the same time. Like I could go off all on that all day.
Yeah. I think also it's falling into some very tropes of the time. Which is like the Friends thing. If you're going to have a Rachel and Ross, you've got to have a Monica and Chandler, you know? Mm. And then there's also Phoebe and Joey over here. Phoebe's the weird one and Joey's the other one. Like, I mean, it's just, it's very that dynamic. But yeah, like her and Thunderbird, like get it on. I mean, and it's very like,
I mean, that's the thing. Like there's no words in this and like, you don't need words. Like, I think this issue was, I actually had to read this issue two or three times because the first time I read it, I was like, I was going through my app. I was like, is the app glitching? Like, is this, I didn't know anything about, you know, the enough said things. So I was like, where are the words? And then I read it through once. I was like, oh, there weren't words. All right, cool. So I had to read it again. And I think with stuff like that, it's very hard to tell. You still can do a great job and tell a story without words. Like this proves that. I'm sure other comics that came out for the thing proved it and other issues in general have. But it is so much easier and it's so much more powerful to show like physicality, whether it's fighting, whether it's intimacy, what have you. It's so much more powerful to show that stuff without words. I actually really like that here because the intimacy we see on these pages, and this issue between them with Blink and Cal and stuff, I was like, this stuff I read completely perfectly, like with no words. I completely understood that. But the other stuff where they're like kind of actually telling that story and like some of the other dreams, I couldn't completely put it together, if that makes any sense. Not that it wasn't not done well. That's the thing. The artist did a great job. The writing was great for this. You know, in terms of writing what to put on the page and such and what the story is, but like I just can't get as well as the other stuff. So I think it's good to know that as well with comics. Yes, you can tell a story without words completely and all that, and that's great. And it's also kind of more powerful in some ways to be able to know exactly what moments are more powerful with and without words. So
I totally agree. I just keep going back over this scene because I'm starting to think that all of it's a dream. Mm-hmm. Only because that room that they're in where they're getting down, it doesn't look like the other rooms, other hotel rooms or anything else. It's I don't know. But you know what? Whatever. They do end up fucking, just spoiler alert, they do end up fucking. So.
If you didn't get that from anything I said or Lisa said, there is fucking. And it's like watching like a 2000s rom-com. Like you don't see any like genitalia or anything, but you see basically everything but that in terms of like you. It's like, wow, this is a private moment. Why am I still looking? Like,
I mean,
it's very well done.
Nocturne is like spread eagle and the only reason you can't see anything is because John's arm is just in the right spot.
Which anyway, is rude.
I mean.
Hashtag move the arm. No, I'm kidding.
Moving on to the final dream that we have here, and that's Blink. Blink is having an absolute nightmare of being back in her home world, of being a baby girl, little child, back in her home of the Age of Apocalypse and getting chased down by Mr. Sinister. And she somehow runs into like a bunch of like old decrepit exiles. She's just having a bad time all around. It's just a bad time. And she wakes up from her dream and she immediately blinks into Calvin's room. Oh my god.
And they were in a room alone together.
They hugging.
What does hugging lead to, children? No, I'm kidding. It does.
I mean, it can eventually. Spooning leads to forking. Think about that for a second. Yeah. Now, the next issue that we're getting into, issue number 8, this starts a very transformational, important arc about Skrulls and Galactus.
Okay, well, that's a spoiler. You don't see him until the end of the issue, Lisa. Damn it.
Well, that's a spoiler. I didn't say when they were going to see him.
Well, but now we're expecting to see him. I read the issue. I didn't know to expect him.
Sorry, guys. But you should have read it before you got here. That was the homework. I mean.
Yeah, and then we discuss it. It's a group project, a group discussion, team effort.
Yes, maybe we should go back and like put like a little bleep in where I said Galactus and then right there where I said it again.
Oh, that's just so much work for me, though.
That's true. Fair enough. All right. Anyway, we're in a new world. The exiles are all together and they're talking about, you know, all these different worlds they had been to. They'd been to the Savage Land. They worked for President Tony Stark. They were in Gamma Radiation World. Just like lots of ones. The antelope one was really weird. Those weird antelope guys. But yeah, they'd been to a lot of places. They'd seen a lot of faces and they'd become much closer. And we see that Blink and Mimic are getting it busy.
Yeah, they're busy.
But just as they're getting busy, they land on Skrull Planet.
That's really unfortunate. That's shit luck.
It was pretty unfortunate. So basically, we're like thrown into an arena with Nocturne, and she is beating the shit out of Marrow. And it turns out that, you know, they were basically plunged into this planet of Skrulls, where as superpowered beings, they are being fought, like forced to like fight, not to the death, but not to the health either. So, you know. And, you know, whoever wins gets more rations, whoever loses gets less. So it's very like, it's for your best interest to win in every situation. And, you know, we get a little bit of backstory on how this happened. It was like over 100 years ago, before the Industrial Revolution, the Skrulls showed up. They took over everything because
it's
humans.
A whole thing.
It is a whole thing. Like, humans only had steam.
And you can get all the backstory on how they try to rationalize when and how the Skrulls did this takeover, essentially.
I mean, like, I get it because, like, all they had were steam and horses. So, like, what are they going to do? How are they going to fight a Skrull? So, but yeah, they took over. The Skrulls took over Earth and, like, are living on Earth. Humans became like the fringes of society. They kind of made their own little societies. But when superpowered humans started showing up, the Skrulls were like, I know what we're going to do with them. We're going to make them go gladiator style. And Gladiator had actually just been a really big movie just a couple years before this issue came out too. So it was like gladiators and stuff was big.
Yeah.
And then we've got Colossus fighting the Thing, which... Oh, wait a minute. No, they do explain it later. I had a whole thing about this where I was like, how is the Fantastic Four in this world if they didn't have technology? Like, how would they go to space? But then they actually explain it later, and I felt really stupid getting so, like, worked up about that. Like, this makes no sense.
Lesson learned, don't be like Lisa. Be patient. See if they explain it.
That is exactly it. But basically what we see is that TJ, Cal, John, and Mariko have been taken in to the games, and they're being made to fight. Meanwhile, we have Blink and Morph are on the outside trying to find a way in, trying to save their friends. And the way they're trying to do it right now is Morph is pretending to be a Skrull who's bringing Blink into the games. And of course they get caught because he's a mutant and they can just detect it with their little mutant detector. And so that's like, well, scratch that. I guess we're going to run back to, you know, the woods and figure out something later. But in there, there's a guy who's watching them. We don't know who he is yet, but we'll find out soon. And then we got, you know, Thunderbird is, you know, beating the crap out of Strong Guy. And he goes all bestial to do it. And the crowd loves it. And they're just, everybody's just like sad. Like, everybody's just like, ugh, we have to survive. And it's like, yes, you have to survive. Mariko is like, Nocturne, something weird is going on with Nocturne. She's being all squirrely. I don't know what her deal is. And Cal's like, all right, well, we're going to figure this out, I guess. I don't know. And meanwhile, Morph and Blink are ambushed by Sam Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's who our creepy guy was, Sam Wilson. So I apologize, Sam, but also stop being creepy, my dude.
creeped in America.
That's so mean. We can't say that. If that reaches Twitter and it hits the masses, Lisa, we're that's no, he is not. We love you, Sam. I'm so sorry.
All right. Well, this is like, there's just so much supposition. There's so much is being set up. So we're just going to like fly through a lot of this. But basically, like, they keep fighting. And Sam Wilson is like, I know a guy who knows a guy who's going to help you get your friends out. So follow me. Meanwhile, while they're doing that, we've got two Skrulls sitting in up in space somewhere talking about like they're going to go on vacation soon. Should they go to Earth or not? And while they're doing that, all of a sudden this crazy meteor shower shows up, but it's not a meteor shower. Lauren, it is. What is it, Lauren? Can you tell the people who has shown up at this moment?
Oh yeah. It's one of my favorite villains. Well, his Herald, who I don't remember the name of his current Herald at this time, to be fair, but one of his Heralds is there. And if you're like, oh, Herald, yes, Galactus is coming. And his current Herald is there to have Earth prepared for Galactus to om nom nom.
Yeah, he's going to om nom nom the shit out of Earth. And, you know,
he's
they
like,
killed
ooh,
these.
The Phoenix Force isn't here. Dibs.
Yep. And they killed these Skrulls on the way, like an amuse-bouche, just a little like, nom, 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 nom. But meanwhile, we've got Sam Wilson talking about how the Fantastic Four happened, like an idiot that I was so angry about in the beginning because I hadn't read enough. And yeah, it turns out that like some smart guys stole a ship and flew up into space, and that's how they got attacked by the radiation, whatever, and they got returned back. And Sam's like, I got a guy. He's going to help. He's here for you. And it is Reed Richards.
Of course it is. He finds a way to show up in everything.
He does find a way. Fine, he always whatever. Finds a way. And that is the end of issue 8. And we've got two more issues of this beautiful new arc that just started, which gets really heavy. I'm very excited about it.
I'm very excited to see the team, you know, I'm assuming eventually they get free somehow. Somebody might die. I don't know, obviously. But I'm looking forward to seeing the team reunite and all get to be kind of the same area interacting. Because I think that's the thing I miss the most in the 8th issue, at least. And I mean, even the 7th, because the 7th was like, you know, they were all dreaming and shit.
Okay, I want you to give me your... Who do you think is most likely to die? Who do you think is most likely to survive? Like, you're like, this person is almost certainly going to die, and this person is definitely not going to die.
Okay, well, based on what I know, Nocturne doesn't die. Thunderbird won't die. Well, wait, he might actually. I don't remember the timeline. Maybe. I don't know about that one. Blink, I don't think will. Mariko might. I don't know. But she also hasn't kind of been there, which is also why I kind of think they might kill her, which is sad. And
I know. It sucks. She's great.
Yeah, but they haven't used her a lot, so that's kind of why I'm like, well, they might see her as expendable, which is blech. Morph, maybe, but also I feel like he would have more lead up to his death. I mean, they could lead it up to it more still, but...
Okay. So you think
Thunderbird is on the docket of possibility, because I remember you said to me before something happens to him and we run an issue. I think that kind of hinted at that, if I'm not mistaken. So it might be him. Ha. But it's also kind of early. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I remember we read, what was it, like issue 18, 16 or 18? So yeah. I don't know how close it happens to then, but.
All right. Well, there you go. Lock it in. We've got our guesses. So we'll find out.
Watch me be completely wrong next week on Simply Amazing, where Lauren is simply amazingly wrong often. Thank you.
But at least you're simply amazing at something.
This is true. It's not something completely terrible. It's just lame.
No. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for coming back and listening to us jabber on about Exiles, my favorite comic, and quickly becoming Lauren's favorite comic as well. I mean, Supergirl who?
How dare you? How dare you? I never say Nocturne who? Ugh, Lisa, Jesus Christ.
You just did.
Yeah, but that was me saying it to prove how I never say it.
Oh my God. I could Teresa Giudice you to filth right now, but I'm not going to.
Oh my gosh. I'm just gonna wear all Supergirl gear next time we record. I swear to God.
Oh my God, I look forward to it. I can't wait. That's what I'm trying to make happen. Oh my God, look at this bruise I have. Where'd that bruise come from?
I was not gonna ask about it. I was being polite, but I was curious. I was like, I don't know if that's normally there or not.
Well, I live alone with my dog, but maybe she beats me in the night and I don't know about it.
She's too sweet. Daisy May would never. How dare you speak of her that way?
That is true. Daisy May would never. She is the sweetest thing in the world, and I love her so much. Anyway, yeah, thanks, everybody, for coming and listening again. If you want more of either one of us, we've got other stuff going on, too. Lauren, tell them about everything that you got going on.
Not too much. Just trying to stay alive. You know, that's important. I do the YouTube channel, Your Friendly Neighborhood Comic Show, still. I'm still waiting for Kurt to be in the neighborhood. We have a school named after him, as, you know, voted by others. But apparently, we don't have him there. So, you know, come join the Discord. Come join the club. Let us know who Kurt, what role he should be in the neighborhood, because I would really like him there. And I do other stuff. You know, you can see anything else I do on my own Twitter, at Friendly MBHDBI, if you want to, you know, envelop yourself in chaos.
Love it. Love it. There you go. And you can find us on simplyamazingpod.com. All of our socials are there. I also am doing Twitch streaming here and there if you want to come and find me. You can come find me. Come find me on Twitter. You'll find my Twitch links and everything like that. But yeah, you can come find us on Twitter or find all our socials at simplyamazingpod.com. It's got our Twitter. It's got our Facebook. It's got all that goodness, all that gracious, all that beauteousness that we have that are the socials of the networks. And yeah, if you are out there listening to this and you are thinking to yourself, I wish I had a dog named Daisy May. Well, no, you can't have her, but that's okay because you're still simply amazing.